Good evening, everyone. Please rise. For a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing upon this city and wisdom as our city council meets tonight. And now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome, everyone, to tonight's meeting. It's February 6, 2023. And as we move along in our agenda, item 1D is citizen input. Do we have any citizens who would like to address the city council tonight? Hearing none, I'll move to roll call, item 1E. And notice that all the council members are present in person except for Angel Garza. Angel, are you on the call? He's not on the call. Okay.
I'll make a motion to excuse Angel.
Thank you.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Before we approve our agenda tonight, I just want to note that we had removed the railroad final payment approval. There were some things that were brought to our attention that we need to work out yet. So we pulled that agenda item from what was on over the weekend on the consent agenda. And with that, I would entertain a motion to approve our agenda tonight.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Let's move to our consent agenda.
I have a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now let's move to our current business. Item 4A is the City Hall remodel update. Tonight, our building inspector, Tim Unra, who has been overseeing this project from the beginning, and he's here tonight to give the council an update. And also, I think there's a request for additional budget items. So, Tim, do you want to visit with the council?
Good evening, everyone. As you can see, this phase is basically done. I won't be busy doing any little things to catch up on. So this is phase one. And as generally happens in building project, there are change orders and things that you didn't see pop up and adds to the expense. I think you originally approved the $166,682, and that was our original bids. The added cost, some of the things that was unforeseen, and as we got into the project, like there's always this, oh, we need to do this. We're here now, let's get it done. Some of that was painting the OPD doors and things like that. We added new lights in here. That was an additional $5,645. Tables that we added for here in place of these folding tables. And so that total are the chairs and the blinds, which we didn't got the chairs yet, but the blinds are still on order. That comes to $19,984.16.
$19,000.
Correct. Really what you need to consider tonight is that number and the cost for the court's clerk's office that we didn't anticipate at all. I was told that the court clerk can't be in with the police department because they cannot share the information which could affect the case, so they have to be separate. So we're remodeling this over here. What we want to do is remodel this over here to put the court clerk in there, and then we will have a counter that will be accessible also to the lobby. And as you can see, there's some cost in that, as always. We're going to remove a wall, rebuild that, some wiring, security curtain that comes down at night to protect the court clerk's security there, the cabinets and countertops. And then this isn't in the actual court clerk's cost. Here at the bottom was $12.5 for a relock. Rekeying our whole system. Our system is kind of a mess. There is very few, if any, master keys, and the keys are not keyed to appropriate doors that people need to get in. So I think Abner knows way more about that than I do. I think if you got the agenda memo, the explanation of issue was, you know, to give you an update on the budget, the change orders, and where we can get the money.
Question, City Council?
Yeah, the phase two court clerk's office right underneath that in the spreadsheet here. Is that a typo? There's a 4,000. Is that supposed to be $4,000 or is that?
Yeah.
Well, that's an estimate. We don't know that.
Okay.
That is a typo.
It's still a typo.
Yes.
It's four grand.
It's 400.
400 or 4,000?
It should be 400.
400?
Okay. For two door?
Pardon?
For two door?
There's just to refinish the doors, outside doors there.
Oh, you want to refinish them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have a question about your lock. For $12,500, are you putting? Is that going to be regular keys, or are you going to be electronic key card?
That's to pull the cores out and rekey them with keys that will. Actually, that's the whole city, public works, parks,
and that. Yeah,
there's a lot of doors, and the system is very outdated. When I was service manager for the condo schools. Our system there was quite a bit better. So I kind of understand how the key is supposed to be done. But Abner's got, like I said, Abner got a good handle on that.
So I think it's also important for council to know there was also some security concerns. We just felt like it's time after all these years to get that under control. And I know Abner got a quote from a Tri-City firm that wanted $247,000 to do the same thing. Yeah.
$247,000?
Yeah.
Has anybody looked at the electronic locks that take the key card?
Yeah, so
I know you'd be
so our camera system actually has, right, we can add on as a key card system so that when you walk in the door, you badge in, the camera will also see you, and you can time it together so you can go back and see who entered the door at a certain time. The problem is we have to retrofit every door with a key card system. And the initial quote I got, this was 2 years ago, was about $8,000 a door.
Wow.
So it's quite expensive, but I would like to go in that direction, but
I'm talking about issues like hotel doors. Hotel would not be $8,000 a door.
That's because they build the system. It's system in when they built the hotel. Right now, we're going to have to retrofit, so they're literally drilling into the, you know, doors and stuff like that. So it's labor intensive.
So some of those things, and having put them in myself, you do when you've got the frame out and you get the wire, the power in through there. So you do have to, it's a lot more work than it actually looks like. And then you get magnets and things. Get the power to the doors, the pain in the neck.
Yeah, I know some, like the school district, I think, uses half and half. When they build a new building, they build it in. And then some of the doors, I think they use like a battery, you know, operating system. And those battery operating, you got to be changing the battery on those all the time, which, you know, we could do that. But I would rather have it wired in where you don't have to change battery. So, yeah, I've looked into that. And in the future, it'd be awesome. But again, you're talking $8,000 a door compared to $12,500 getting a key. One of the biggest issues is we haven't been able to make keys for, I'm not sure how long. Nobody can make a key for these laws. So we've been scrounging the keys that we have.
I called, I think, three locksmiths. He said, what kind do you have? I said, Yale. He said, we're not interested.
Yeah.
They don't want to do this.
Very unique business.
That's why we got a $250,000 bid from someone.
That's great.
Okay, so for 12.5, you could fix everything in the city.
Yes, that's an estimate. We got a quote for 62 doors.
Right.
It was 6,500. So I just doubled it, you know.
Yeah, we're so initially, right, we start with, okay, let's get these doors done. And then, well, we can do the whole city hall. I'm like, oh, great, give us a quote to that. And then, well, now that we're thinking about it, well, we got park keys and everything that we'd like to get all in one system. So I'm gonna have it come out Wednesday and give them a full quote for that. But that's a good estimate. I would guess that's a really good estimate.
So in essence, we'll put the contract in front of the council with all the bid summaries of what we got.
At a later time. So looking at your spreadsheet, first of all, the number 32,470, I don't know what it represents. What combination of numbers up there put together equal that amount? Because if I look at the 1,599.55, 3,500 and 10,970 to complete the chambers for the municipal court system, it's $25,925.
No, it's more than that, John.
I don't think so.
The tax is 37. Faction is 37. The guy.
There's an addition.
Yeah, no, but leave the 12 out because the 12 got nothing to do with the municipal court.
That's the whole city hall.
That's for everything. The $400 doesn't have anything to do with the finishing of this of the municipal court system. So just looking at the numbers that you give for the municipal court, I didn't write them down wrong. It's $1,500, $9,954.40, which I rounded to $9,955, $3,500 plus $10,970, and I come up with $25,925 to finish the municipal court.
And the clerk's office, yes.
The clerk's office is part of what I'm talking about, right. So that we have our municipal court system done and over with and make it easy to operate.
So that was what the motion was.
So that's what we're here.
Yeah.
Under the agenda memo, that's what we're here to decide on. And the other two items are something that are being thrown in, but right. Not part of that.
That's correct.
Well, and they can be brought back to us at a later time.
Yes.
The first one is the change order for 1994 on the original budget adjustment, basically phase one, I guess.
Phase
and
one.
32,470 is phase two. Do I understand that correct?
Yeah, but
no.
But no, the 34,7.
Yeah, I don't know what
470 what doesn't.
I don't know what combination makes those up either. I didn't get that same answer when I did the math either. So I don't, I'm with John. I don't know where the 32,470
is. I'm not trying to cause problem. I'm just saying that.
I added that up just the other day. Just a little bit wrong, but I messed up there.
Okay. So we're looking at, let's just say $26,000 to finish the court, the municipal court system that we started on. That's putting that office in, putting in the entry to the outside, closing off the doors,
mm-hmm.
and as you've shown in your drawings.
Correct.
So I think that's what our motion should be, is that we can approve the change orders
mm-hmm.
for $20,000.
And then phase two of Kirk Clark.
And then another motion for the $26,000 to complete project.
Yeah. And are those hard bids that you have?
Because you said the other door estimates, they can bring them back to us at any time.
They just got back to me this morning. Actually, it was a little less than that.
Okay, so if we were to approve a budget item without any contingency in it, you would be okay with that. They're not back at the envelope in your office.
No.
Though you've got natural quotes and you know
some
of the work that. Okay, so that
except for the front doors.
Oh, yeah.
Front doors and the locks.
Yeah, but those shouldn't be included in this.
Yeah, they can come back. And their estimates anyway, so they can come back when they've got the actual quotes.
Time out. The city has a budget to fix things that need to be fixed. $400 item shouldn't be coming before us for approval. Should not be rolled into this for approval. You could pay for that with petty cash. I mean, realistically, that shouldn't be something we need to vote on. What we need to vote on
should have a maintenance line.
It's going to take to complete the municipal project for the municipal court.
Well, I think you have it. $20,000 for the first motion, $26,000 for the second.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody want to make that motion, the first one?
Well, go ahead, Corey.
I'll make the motion to approve the $20,000 change order. So the $19,984.16 change order. Second that.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Okay. John, you're going to have to do this motion because you got the math all figured out.
So basically, I'm going to make a motion for $26,000. That's only $7,500 or $75 over the amount of what I added up for the completion of the municipal court clerk's office.
Second that.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Tim.
So then we should probably get the key system. Once we get it nailed down a little bit better, and we know what we're really looking at, because we might be talking restrooms at parks and things like that.
Absolutely.
You know, everything. Get that nailed down, and then let's go ahead and get that in front of us.
Yep. I think we're going to have all our quotes in by Friday.
Okay.
You're going to have what by Friday?
All our quotes in on that. Yep.
My ears are plugged tonight.
Okay, that's fine. We'll repeat it. Sorry. Tonight we have the pleasure of having the Saddle Mountain Amateur Radio Club. They've been busy in the community. And tonight, Paul Rizome is going to give the city council a briefing on their activities. As you recall, the city had appropriated funds from the ARPA funds that we received from the federal government to create a communication system. Well, actually they had one, but to improve the communication system in case other systems were down and we had a backup. So, Paul, I'm going to give you the floor.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, City Council, for your time. This is really a return of report and an opportunity for us to tell you where we're at. Approximately last January of 2022 is when we came and talked to you about our need for emergency communications. Just to go through a couple of slides and remind you what we talked about before a year ago, this is one of our value statements, what we want to accomplish and our goals. Our value is having emergency communications and to increase our membership in amateur radio, provide education for our community, and support emergency communications. We had some goals to increase the membership, to do training and education, and to buy some equipment. We're here to talk about the equipment that was purchased and how that's going. Nice thing about that is we wanted to be off-grid. We wanted to be true emergency communications and the support to our local area, our Adams County Emergency Services. You might recognize this next slide. This was what we presented to you a year ago in like a four stage, our four goals. On the left-hand side is a GRS repeater. We want to accomplish kind of a citywide emergency backup. We also wanted to be updated on our VHF repeater, which is here local in Othello. We wanted the third one over to really be on Wahita's Peak, which is a secondary repeater. And last, the far right, is a statewide communications. I'm here to report that really three out of four we have completed. We're having a hard time getting the fourth one. We've done very well. We appreciate the funds that we were able to do that with. So where are we at? Level number one. That GMRS repeater we have purchased. I just want to show on the radio.
Go to one.
That radio.
Put that away. One.
He's up and running. That is the repeater that you just heard come back. This works very well for just our local fellow area. This red circle kind of talks about that distance, but it's actually a little bit better than that. I can go to Ward and still communicate on that. So it's really kind of nice that we have that diverse communication now. It is maintained by our Saddle Mountain Amateur Radio Club. That's the name of our club. And for anyone that wants to get on that, they can buy a rural radio. They can buy a $35 license, and their whole family can be able to communicate with their case. So we're excited about that. The next one, level two, is our repeater that's up on Radar Hill. This one was working up until about a week ago, to be completely honest, and the antenna in the wind broke off, and so we turned it off. But this one works great. This is now an amateur radio level, and it can go 5 to 20 miles. This one is an excellent repeater. It's at the same location as the GMRS repeater, and we have been doing testing and also training new technicians to use that repeater. And we're here to report that here we have about 5 new technicians that have tested, and so our club is growing. This third one, level three, this is the part that actually does not work yet. This is where we wanted to be on top of Wahita's Peak. We found someone where we could rent space from, but they wanted, I won't say the name, they wanted $600 a month for us to be there. We just can't afford that. We're a nonprofit organization. We found another location that charges us $300 a year. And so we're really excited about that. We're about ready to do that. And they said, oh, wait, you want a piece of equipment in there so your equipment doesn't interfere with anyone else. And we found out that that costs about $5,000. So we're still generating funds to do that. This is the part that we're still working. There will be a link. You might see the red line between the two green dots. There will be a link between one repeater and the next, so it will backwards and forwards, and we can talk anywhere. We can be in Tri-Cities and talk to Freda. We're looking forward to it. Level four, we're excited. We did purchase this with the funds. This equipment has been up and working, and in case there was a disaster, we could set that up anywhere and communicate to what's going on in our community and our state, and actually US-wide. So we're excited about that as well. This level of licensing, it does require a general and extra license. You'll see it down at the bottom. So you really have to go up the next level to be a ham radio operator, running equipment. It works excellent. So here's our, I just talked about this already. This is, by the way, some pictures on top of Wahita's Peak. We do need that $5,000 to buy that additional equipment. We've already generated through other funds and other clubs and organizations, NFL, about 4,000. We're still about $1,000 short to fix that. So we're close. We want to still increase our membership. We're still looking at training, and we want to discover more events for communication. We're here to ask you what you would like us to do as well. I'll show another slide what we're thinking about. Again, this is a picture. It says missing piece, the link between radar and online. These are some pictures of the equipment that we have installed already. The right one, don't think about that's all our equipment, that's our neighbor. But the other two pictures are equipment that we've installed. The next slide, we want to talk about education, what we've done so far. We're excited about people are interested in emergency communications. And we offer two classes this year. We're grateful to be able to use, even during the construction, the we call that conference room, the training room. We use that, and we had the first round, we had 9 people come to our class, and out of the 9, 6 passed the test. The second time we offered the class, and think about this, this is a 6-week class, and those members are coming once a week, and then they take the test. We offer that test here. They literally don't have to drive to Trace Cities or Yakima. We offer that. And the second round, we had 4, and all 4 passed. I'm grateful for some of those individuals behind me that represent those people that have passed the test. In January, we had about 5 members. 3 moved out of our club. Well, they just moved out of the area, so we can't count those. But right now, our current membership is 14, their license. We are offering another class. We're excited about this coming up in, we're hoping March 1st, depending on someone's help. 25 people have said they're interested in taking that class. We're getting those signed up right now. The next layer is the general layer. And we have 6 people right now interested in that class. So we're going to have another 2 sets of classes going on to get people up and running. So we're growing. We're excited about that. What does it cost someone, just as a curious, to get licensed? Really $20 and then take the test. It really doesn't cost anyone. Maybe, excuse me, they have to buy the book. They're $50. It's pretty cheap to get into. A little spending, a little accounting. So with the $30,000 that was given to our club, that we was spent on repeaters, antenna, coax, solar, battery equipment. We also had a recommendation from the city council to buy a CB radio and antenna. That's included in here. I did not put that. We had to also buy a laptop. We needed a laptop to help program some of our repeaters. So that's part there. One of the repeaters needed repair. We had to pay for shipping to get back. And there's some bank charges you'll see there. Right now we're negative. We're fortunate we did qualify for the 501(c) nonprofit. And so we're hoping to get the bank to refund some of that off of our statement. Just as a side note, what does it cost our little club to be up and running? We have to buy insurance. We didn't realize that. That's not part of the money that we use for the from the city council, but when we put our equipment at some location, we need to insure that. So there's no harm done either way. There's no liability. That costs about $500 a year. The rent on top of Lajitas will be $300 a year. And then of course we have repairs and maintenance. This next one is unknown. We don't know if we're going to have to pay for internet connection on top of Lajitas Beach. We're hoping we get that free. So that $1,600 or $600 may not be. But it costs us between $1,000 and $2,000 for our little nonprofit club to exist in here. Surprising. Lastly, I just want to say, what are the benefits again to our community? We offered our radios, we handed them out to the San Diego Crane Festival, and these operated as communication during that. I don't know if you know that, but we did that. If you're looking for other events in the community, if you have suggestions how we could be a backup and communicate like that. Again, we have GMRS, we have the statewide communication, and the last is yellow. We are true battery solar operated. We don't use any power. We want to be true off the grid. That's the last that I have. The last question I have for the city council is, are you prepared? Our job is to help you be prepared.
We also offer our radios out to the Chamber of Commerce for their parades and 4th of July event as well. I've gotten great feedback from them folks that it was nice not to have to call individual people. You could hop on the radio and broadcast and everybody knew what was going on.
I'm glad you brought that up. I forgot about that, John.
Sorry, sorry to interrupt.
No, I agree.
So I have a question for Chief. I know you're involved in this, but is this a major, I guess this has the potential to be a major benefit to the police department in case of an emergency, right?
There's a couple, thank you. There's a couple of places where it's beneficial. The first would be just at the grassroots community level. So as we look towards the GMRS, it doesn't take any testing, and it's $30 and it gets an entire family license, and they can buy the radios on Amazon or Walmart. But with that, we're looking at organizing our block watches to be able to use those and do check-ins with that. We're also looking at CERT, which is Community Emergency Response Teams, and we've got three of us that are trained to train that. With the idea, and the first I saw what a CERT team is, they were organized around those groups being able to communicate with each other and as little pods. And then the last thing where it really does benefit us is as we work on continuity of government, continuity of operations, emergency planning, being able to communicate outside of this community. If internet's down, the telephone lines are down, we now have that ability with the HF, the high frequency radio systems. They can send an email to Olympia electronic without internet. So there's a lot of benefit to our community as we put these kind of plans together.
Okay. So I guess one more question I got. So this piece of equipment that you're shortly $1,000 short on for a equipment there, what happens if that piece of equipment breaks? How can it get repaired, or is it just going to sit there broken?
That was a really good question, Corey. In fact, we have right now 5 bids out. That piece of equipment is meant to block all everyone else's frequency and only keep our frequency from here to the antenna. If it were to break, we would have to reorder it, and we're 8 weeks out to get that replaced. That's a really good question. Plus, we're finding that the prices are really variable. This week, I got 2 new quotes. Some are saying $1,500 to get those 3 pieces of equipment to put in, but they can't verify to me if it's the exact same one that we need. It's an email from China. I just thought I'd ask them if they could get it cheaper. Sure, they say we can get it cheaper, but I can't help this quality equipment. So 5,000 is the high point, 1,500, we don't know yet.
So is it just that $1,000 that's keeping you from getting put in?
Yes.
So kind of where I'm going, I think it has potential to be a major benefit to our community, especially if there's ever an emergency. And I'd like to propose paying donating $1,000 to them out of the ARPA fund. Because I believe that's what the ARPA fund was intended for. So anyway, that's my, I don't know, promotion or a proposal that can be talked about, but that's what I would like to see then.
I just need direction from the council.
I would support that.
You support it? Make the motion then.
I'll make the motion.
I'm going to recuse myself as the vice president of the club.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to donate.
Okay, hold on a second. So just for the minutes, John Erickson is vice president of the Saddle Mountain Amateur Radio Club. So he's going to recuse himself, and now I'll take the motion.
Okay. I'll make the motion to fund the $1,000 out of our ARPA funds for the remainder of what they need to get set up.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you for your time.
Excellent. Thank you. Now I'd like to move to item 4C, which is the active transportation plan introduction. And our community development director, Ann Henning, is here to give us the some information to the city council on the active transportation plan.
So, Plan Commission has been working on this for a while. They will be holding a public hearing later this month, as we do at the end of the month. But I just wanted to bring it to you ahead of that so you have some time to look at it, think about it, ask questions, anything you want the Plan Commission to address before it comes back to you for your formal consideration. We had a Quarto grant that we used. We hired a consultant to do the plan for us. We did a survey, public outreach that way. The plan commission has been talking about it most months, so it's been on their agenda. And so what you have, I included the actual draft as it is currently. And then we sent out with the utility bills this month, we sent out a summary of the plan and then a link for people who had comments. I've gotten one comment that was good. But I'll bring you all the comments at your leisure. I would just answer any questions, any feedback, you know, feedback.
So an active transportation plan addresses walking, biking, and other forms of non-motorized transportation. Bike lanes, sidewalks,
right, also
walking paths,
wheelchairs.
Just
all the ways that people get around that aren't cars, trucks, buses.
Council?
It's just informational.
Just mm-hmm. Okay. Just wondered if you had any questions. Okay, thank you. Now I'd like to move to item 4D, which is the police sergeant collective bargaining agreement. And our police chief, Phil Shank, was the lead negotiator for the city with the committee to work out a collective bargaining agreement with the police sergeant. Chief.
Thank you, Mayor. Council, what we have first one we look at is the sergeant's collective bargaining agreement. This is a 3-year agreement, retroactive to the beginning of this year. I kind of highlighted some of the main points on it, but the salary increase first year is 8%, second year 3%, and the third year is tied to cost of living, but it'll be between 2% and 4%, depending on what that is, and it would be capped at the 4%. Spanish incentive was increased from 3% to 5%. We have definitely found that to be an essential skill. And then in this agreement, we're also increasing the longevity as to 2% starting I think 2 years earlier than the previous contract, and providing 2% off base pay for the detective sergeants as well as the SRO sergeant. So, entertain any questions on this. This was the numbers that we used were based on a salary study that we completed, much like what the PERC does, Public Employees Relations Commission, where we look at cities 50% bigger and 50% smaller. And our goal is to put our department right in the middle of this stuff. So any questions?
I know the council committee participated in this. Do you guys have any comment?
Other than it's becoming very difficult to keep officers in a small rural community. We're losing out to larger communities that have more action, more things for the family to go to and do. Plus, you don't have a lot of people going into law enforcement today. There's not a big, a big movement towards that, because of the national an appreciation of them. So it's very competitive. It's not just the competitiveness of the unions to, you know, make money for their employees. It's the competitiveness of trying to maintain what you have, to keep what you have, and not lose it. So it was quite a bit of consideration this time around. Before, it was about numbers. It was about what we were going to pay, how much it was going to cost us. Now it's more about how do we field a fully functioning police department, a force that we can use to protect our city.
Exactly.
That's the only thing I got to say about what we're looking at here with the negotiations today. So that's why we decided to lower the, there was a 7-year incentive at 2%. We lowered that down to 5, just to keep them for 5 years. If they didn't feel like they were going to get to the 7, then they were going to give up the 2% anyway. If they get to 5, they get 2%. And then it's just every 5 years they get another percentage. We were looking at ways to keep them happy with transportation, going home, using, you know, vehicles to outside of a 30-mile radius and, you know, seeking reimbursement from them for that, but allowing them to take their car home. You know, there was much more things that went into the negotiations that are highlighted just right here. But again, it all stems back to keeping a police force for our community.
While staying fair to the city also.
Yes. While being fiscally responsible.
I think it's a good deal for both the city and for the officers. Mm-hmm. I think both sides worked out really well.
Okay. With that, I entertain a motion to approve item 4D, police sergeant collective bargaining agreement.
Make a motion to approve collective bargaining agreement.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now I'd like to move to item 4E, which is the police officers collective bargaining agreement. A lot of John's comments are echoed in this agreement as well. But Chief, do you want to just give a brief update?
The only significant difference in this agreement, besides the fact that it represents the larger group of our employees, is the fact that we did this as Councilman Wallace indicated. We had a lot of discussion around vehicles, so we do have a take-home vehicle policy. But it's capped at 30 miles. Outside of 30 miles, they were not allowed to take that vehicle home. The new agreement allows them an extra 15 miles, which extends us, I think, into Costco, is as far as that would go. But that employee would end up having to pay us $200 a month. So, but they would still get the use of that car, they wouldn't have to be there. So it actually benefits the employee as well as the department. So otherwise, it's the same agreement. We're talking an 8% or 3% and a 2-4%. And we encourage you to support this collective bargaining agreement.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve this 3-year agreement. Teamsters Local 760 for 2023-2025.
Thank you. If I have a second.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. So we move along on our agenda. The next item is the approval of a portable mound vendor. And that was a discussion during budget, and now this is coming to pass, and our Public Works Director, Kirk Carpenter, is here to give the latest update to the City Council.
Evening, Council. Valerie wasn't able to make it tonight. She's coaching wrestling, so which I highly support. These were the purchase of this was approved on a combined budget with the improvements to the ball fields concession stand. The reason we're bringing it back to you is, if we discussed before, they own they're unique to the only amount that Little League will approve. So Valerie went out and got three quotes for that specific amount that I believe you have in your packet. So I guess we're bringing this, if you have any questions, we're just trying to get approval to go ahead and purchase this. The delivery is fairly critical as far as getting everything in time, along with the concession stand venue, so we're on a pretty tight schedule. I guess I'll leave it to you if you have any questions.
There have been any conflicts on this time from True Pitch.
What's that?
True Pitch is going to get it to you on time for sure.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
I make the motion to approve the purchase of four 202-6 portable Little League approved mounds from True Pitch LLC.
Thank you.
One second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Kurt. Our last item on current business is the sewer professional services agreement, and our city engineer, Sean O'Brien, is here to bring that before the council.
Okay, so we went out for RFQs for professional services for our sewer, and because we do have to do a feasibility study for our treatment plant, and Anderson Perry was the group that we selected. And then we're also asking for land application assistance in doing a land application permit. Amherst Ferries, who we selected, they proposed. So we were looking to do two tasks. They actually proposed to set up it in three tasks. The first task being just them coming, meeting with the city, getting under, you know, a better picture of what we're looking for, and then do the initial meeting with the DOE. Get a good grasp of what the DOE is willing to entertain and what they see as our getting the input on what they will allow for our, as we move forward. From that, they will then put together a better, cleaner scope. We'll all be on the same page, a little bit better for coming up with the scope for the engineering report. So this is just the original agreement, only $9,325. That's enough to exceed amounts, but it's an hourly estimate. So we will have those initial meetings, and we're just asking, first of all, to approve the professional services agreement with Anderson Perry, and then approve task one, give the mayor approval to sign those contracts.
Does everybody understand that? So basically we're making an agreement with Anderson Perry for professional services. Task one is going to cost $9,325, but the other two tasks could cost anywhere from $500,000 to $1.5 million.
Well, we're hoping it isn't that much.
No,
we hope it's well underneath that.
Well, yeah. Once you start looking at engineering reports for a new waste treatment system, depending on what we're going to be doing and stuff, it's going to total up. But part of the reason we conducted interviews with three engineering groups, we went with Varela, Anderson Perry, and the third one is the individual from Spokane, the husband and wife.
Esfeld.
And It was amazing that Anderson Perry was quite a bit up on what we were doing and what we hadn't done. And they were very, they put it very simply. It wasn't like they were trying to blow smoke up our butt or anything. They pretty much knew what we needed to do and were very concise about how we should approach it. So we, you know, we, out of the three groups that we were looking at, we suggested that we go with Anderson Perry.
Also, the fact that Anderson Perry could do a lot of the work, most of the work in-house.
And they had history.
Mm-hmm. They would do it mostly in-house, but also in 2005, they prepared a feasibility study slash interim report for our treatment plant.
That was never filed, was never
submitted with the DOE, but a lot of it's the basis for a lot of the what this document needs to address. It needs to be updated to current numbers, and then also I think they had seven alternatives that they looked at that time. I don't think all seven are still items that we consider, but a lot of the groundwork has already been prepared. So, and we're not the benefit of doing this little initial meeting is when they come back with the scope for task two, if we're not on the same page with them, we're not committed. We're not $35,000 into something that all of a sudden we're saying this is a dead end. We can get an understanding and a lot of this the city can do with their help, but they're the experts. We're hoping to put as much of this on them. We report, put together a report, stamp it. But we're just dipping our toe in the water with this agreement with task one.
So this is true that the $9,300 is for task one and task two.
No.
Okay, that's what it says here in exhibit two underneath the contract.
It's a task one will gather the information to better develop the scopes. So they'll come back with the scopes for task two and task three, which then will give us a clearer idea of how much it's going to cost.
But here it says task one is $450, task two is $8,500. It's the exhibit two underneath the contract.
I think it must be the other attachment that they...
No, it's at the bottom.
This one?
Not on the agreement, but on the
contract.
So they broke task one, I think, down into two scopes. One is just their administrative costs, the people that will be doing it. I'm going off of memory right now. So it's the third attachment.
Task order number 2023-01. Go to the other one.
All the way back to the end.
So the bottom one there.
Do you
ever come that one? No.
Yeah.
Is that? Yeah, a fellow drop. So go all the way at the bottom of it.
Go all the way to the bottom. There you go.
So it's task 1.1 and 2.1, but it is task one. That's the total amount for task one. So that's just broke down between their project administration and their actual work that will be done by the engineers.
Okay. Yep. It's all coming out of the sewer fund.
Yeah.
Okay.
You make a motion to approve the contract as presented.
Thank you.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Would like to move now to item five, unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before the council tonight? Is there any new business?
I got some. I've been working with a group of folks for some funding opportunities, and I'm assuming they'll be approaching the city here sometime shortly for an opportunity called the Climate Smart Funding Program.
We're working with Representative Mary Dow this morning. And they're going to, this program is a regional funding program with impacts to a region and commodities and carbon sequestration and on down the line, things climate smart. Right now, I think they're looking for support from communities, processors, irrigation districts, other boards and committees like Columbia Basin Development League, the Columbia Basin Sustainable Water Coalition, etc. As they move forward into this process of applying for these funds, this is going to be coming up pretty quick, so I anticipate somebody at the city being contacted in the operations side and the executive side. You or Sean O'Brien, I gave both your numbers and home addresses. No, I'm kidding. it's a great program, and I don't want to get into the weeds and the details, but somebody from our group will be reaching out to talk about this and the support that's needed along with the benefits to the community.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any other new business? Okay, I have a couple of things. One comes from our lobbyist, Holly Pochi, and she said in her last legislative update, she covered the vehicular pursuits action form in pretty good detail. And she wanted the council to have a level of awareness that AWC is circulating a letter of support of House Bill 1363. It's something that if the city's supportive of, she thinks it's worth it for myself and anyone else on the council to review and consider signing on to this letter. House Bill 1363 revises statute to include a reasonable suspicion standard and strikes an appropriate balance between providing law enforcement with the tools needed to pursue dangerous suspects while focusing on appropriate and necessary safety standards. So what they're looking to do is broaden what police officers are able to do with regard to vehicular pursuits. So I think that the city council pretty much is in support of anything in that direction. So I just need to know if the council would like to sign on to that letter. She thinks that the more the merrier. So I'm going to send a link to every one of you in your email. Just click on the link, sign on and support. I'll do the same. And then the other thing I had was the annual chamber banquet is February 24th. That's coming up. That's a Friday night, and that'll be at the Catholic Church Annex. The chamber wants the council to know that everyone is invited. There is a cost. There is a dinner included. And the annual chamber banquet is where they hand out the Citizen of the Year, the Business of the Year, and Teachers of the Year awards and Civil Servant of the Year awards. Having no, council on the back, you'll receive, John Erickson, you had requested an IT report that was included tonight. We'll also receive the building and planning report for last month and the latest legislative report for week four. And with no further business to come before the council, I'll conclude tonight's meeting at 7 p.m. So we're going to a one.